Hello.
All right.
We're back with another Joe mini episode, and we have Lizzie here. So, hi, Lizzie.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. Yeah, how are you?
Good. So, we know you, but do you want to like introduce yourself a little bit?
So hi, I'm Lizzie, and I live in the UK. And yeah, just a fan of Stranger Things and Joe and Maya, and yeah.
Yeah. That's
The
awesome.
best.
I love your account, Joe Hawkified, right? And I know you have a couple other ones, but I feel like that
That's like my
is,
main one.
yeah, your main one right now. But I feel like I've known you like ever since I started my like Steady Stories account. So it's been super fun to just interact with you on Instagram, and we appreciate you, and we are super excited to have you on the show and kind of
Oh,
chat
thank
about
you.
Joe. Yeah, you're
Yeah, it's gonna be
welcome.
fun.
Yes, because we all are just like such huge fans of Joe right now and his music, and Stacey and I get to see him, and you have a show coming up when you get to see him. So
Yes.
that's exciting.
Very exciting, yeah.
'Cause he's coming to the UK and to Europe, which is so cool. I know when we first speculated about like this tour, we like I'm so glad that like End of Beginning blew up because like he was able to do a bigger tour, I think, than he might have if that hadn't happened. So it's kind of like works out for all of us for
Yeah,
power
definitely.
TikTok.
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. What are you most excited about, I guess? Like are there any songs that you're most excited about to see live or
So Bloom is always one that I think is one of my favorites. I like End of Beginning, but for like slightly more personal reasons. I think that's going to be quite emotional having that live. I do like the whole of the Crux. I think the whole of the Crux is just one of his better albums. I think they're all good, but I think that's one of the best ones. So,
Bloom's a lot of fun. We were talking about that. That is like, that's kind of like after the intro of Runner, that's kind of like supposedly, you know, he's going to do it this way, but it leads into Gloom, and that's just such like a great way to start off the show because it's such a hype song, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping he doesn't change the set list because there's a rumor that there's going to be like a deluxe kind of thing. So I'm hoping he doesn't change the set list, but we'll see. I'm happy
Yeah.
either way.
I mean, if you guys got like an unreleased song though,
Could
that
you
would be pretty
imagine? Oh,
epic.
that would be
Like
epic.
I mean, it's that's how we felt after like seeing the festival shows in Australia and stuff, because he actually played more of Decide at those shows because The Crux wasn't out yet. So it was like cool that they got to see those songs that we didn't get to see necessarily all of them. But now that The Crux is out, he's playing the majority of The Crux. I do wonder if I know at the last couple sound checks on this tour, he was working on like Golden Line into The Crux, like that like transition, and he hasn't played Golden Line live yet. So I'm wondering if you guys might get that. But also it's like you don't want him to cut anything that he's playing right
Exactly.
now
No, yeah.
either.
I remember I was sweating bullets about Figure You Out. I was like, he's not going to have any room. And luckily that worked out. But at the same token, like, you know, it's only the show's only so long. So like I keep like going, come on, Gasoline, even though for probably like copyright issues, that's not going to happen. But at the same token, like, you know, maybe he will preview something, but I kind of like he's kind of, I think, found his groove, but I think this is his first time performing in the UK. So like get ready. Now, do you have general admission, VIP? What do you have?
My first one is general admission, and I think I've got seats, which is quite nice. I'm on the
Nice,
balcony.
yeah,
And
ease in, yep.
then the second night is standing, and I got VIP for that one. So I get like
Perfect.
the different
Yeah.
vibe, so it's really cool.
Yeah, that's
That's
a good way
awesome.
to do it, especially doing two nights in a row. Like, at least you can sit the first night. Like,
Take
yeah.
it in because I think I'll be a bit
Yeah.
overwhelmed. So,
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Is it at the same venue both
Yeah,
nights?
they're both at
Okay.
the same venue, so that's good.
Cool. And I keep forgetting that he's like playing festivals over there too. Like he's playing Glastonbury.
Yeah, that's like, crazy. That is
that's
crazy.
Gonna be really cool. Like I'm excited to see like what happens on this like European leg of the tour, because I bet he's gonna have a blast and we're just gonna have a blast watching him have a blast.
Yeah, it shows how popular he is over here as well, because he's like sold out on the majority of all the dates. So he does have a really big fan base over here. And I think that is definitely due to Stranger Things. Obviously on TikTok as well now. So yeah, he's building
it's
that.
Worldwide. It's worldwide. Yeah. It's huge. Like I was telling Megan, it wasn't until Denver, seeing how packed the venue was. Like I knew his music was popular, but seeing that he sold out like a venue that holds 3,000 people, I was like, this is huge. Like this is incredible. And just think of when he like obviously he didn't really get to tour decide. So like he played a few really small underground venues and stuff that would maybe hold like 200 people. Now he's performing worldwide and he's in the UK. So like just watch
crazy.
His face. Like he loves seeing people sing along to his music and he gets such a kick out of it. So like I just can't wait to see like how he behaves on stage. He's probably gonna have a blast.
Yeah. And I think that definitely shows he's enjoying himself. That's what he loves to do. And I think that's really important when you're especially making music and touring. It doesn't feel like work. It's more, here I am with my friends and I'm having a good time. So,
yeah. And he's so appreciative of like fans and everybody that supported him, like from even just Stranger Things fans, but also like I think now that he realizes he has fans that like truly appreciate his music, like that's like mind-blowing to him. So to go like to all of these other countries and also have this experience, I think is going to be like really cool to watch for him.
Good old Joe.
Yeah, we're super excited for you. This is actually making me like even more excited for like this European leg of the tour. So
right.
Because I mean, selfishly, I've been like, oh, I don't get to see him again until September. But like, no, we're going to get to see him like enjoy this time with all of you guys. So that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Well, you picked really good songs for us to talk about today. We are so excited. So do you want to get started with talking about Slither?
Yeah, that sounds good.
What a tune.
Yeah. Okay, so this is from the album Decide, and it's the last song on the album. And I mean, we listened to the first half, and it's like, all I can really say is just that build. Like, I feel like that's my big takeaway from this first part of the song.
Like, when it first starts, it's quite soft, and then it gets more and more, like, menacing, and it's like a build-up. And he's talking about it building up and building up, so that's referenced within the music and within the lyrics. So I think that's quite poignant for him growing into fame, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's what I got from that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the whole album is kind of like seems like it's about like transition and making decisions and deciding and changing. And this is very repetitive. Like a lot of the lyrics like are, I mean, it's growing larger. I'm pushing harder. I'm acting sooner. I'm building to it. Like we get like, it's moving faster. I'm coming closer.
It's almost like life. And we know he's such a workaholic, like that drive probably with the more like success he got and the like bandwidth that he got for his career. Maybe it was like more of a drive to keep going and keep working. And I find this really interesting because this is one of the few Decide songs we haven't heard on the tour. I don't know. I mean, I would love to hear it, but I don't know how it would be performed really.
Yeah,
but I really like the sound of his voice in this one.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah,
and I guess like you said, it's almost like menacing. It's like, is this a good thing that you're going towards, or is it something that you're nervous or scared about? Like it's almost like that anxiety. It's almost like anxiety kind of like builds in this way sometimes. Like
just slithers on in. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also the harmonies. Like we have like the different his voices, which we talked about on another episode. How it's interesting to listen back to songs from his first couple albums where the background vocals are just other layers of his own voice rather
different
than
tracks,
like,
yeah.
Now on The Crux, he's got like other people with him, which is
he's
so,
got a whole
super
choir
fun.
Instead of just yeah. choir Joes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I like that part on this song too.
Mm. I think that also could reference when you're talking about he's got a whole group of people with him. I think that references the fact that obviously he recorded Decide, if correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he recorded Decide in like a small, in his like studio or something.
Yeah.
And then he did The Crux in, is it called Electric Lady?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like that's where like Taylor Swift and like these, all these big names, they all record there. So it's kind of like a shift almost. He's got this like whole group and this whole like community around him for The Crux, whereas it's different for the Decide album.
Yeah.
Yeah, Decide almost seemed like kind of like, because I love that he always jokes and he's like, I did 2020 and Decide like basically my bedroom, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was just using my little like equipment that I had, my little setup and stuff. And I think he recorded a lot of this during the pandemic, probably as like
yeah.
something to keep him occupied. And, you know, it goes to show you how talented he is to
yeah,
be
definitely.
Able to record that from home. But it's like apples and oranges, because it's almost like, okay, he's this massively talented recording this out of his home. Then when we got to see what he did at Electric Lady, you're like, whoa. So really, it's cool to see him stretch his legs.
Yeah. And it's almost like he like predicted like his like rise to fame kind of with this song, because it's like, it's growing larger, I'm pushing harder, like I'm building to it, like, and again, is this, was it a good thing kind of thing? It's like very interesting. All right, let's listen to the rest.
That's how you end an album, okay?
That last line.
Yes. Like, and I think that that's the most powerful line in
yeah,
this song.
100%.
We all want to be someone at the end of the day.
And it's like one of the shorter songs, I believe, off that album. But it's like such a great way to kind of like just end it and wrap it up. It's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking up his set list for when he performed Lollapalooza in 2022, and he did not perform Slither. I'm not too sure if he did it at any of those venues, but I think that's a really cool song, and it slept on a lot too,
yeah.
You know?
I think so too, yeah. And I think at the end, his voice gets like a bit like raspy, like he's like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing kind of thing, especially on that last line inside, quite husky. That's what I picked up.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
What that man can do with his voice, even without any tricks or bells or whistles, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you think, like, when you listen to the recordings, you're like, oh, that's like an effect that he put on his voice or something like that. But you're going to see him live soon. And it's like, he does amazing vocal stuff, like, just with his voice.
He adds a lot of flair to different songs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. Whew. But I do like how like the first half, it's almost like it's building, but then it does kind of like have a little bit of like a come down there in the second half. Like, because we've got that, I think I got it, and makes a nice impression, then it slithers away. And then we kind of repeat the whole beginning part again, but it's not as like building this
like a
time.
Cycle.
Yeah, it yeah. like cycles over again, but it's kind of like more consistent rather or like coming down off of that like climax almost, like, so it's kind of a cool just vibe of the song in general,
coming down from the high of like success
yeah.
or like, you know, whatever is going on in his life at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more famous, but I think that would be quite a difficult thing to cope with, especially with like rumors and that kind of thing. And it's trying to stay grounded, which I think he referenced that a lot more in The Crux. But with the Slither, it's like, okay, maybe I've got this, but then I don't think I have. And it's like, how do I...
A grasp on
yeah,
fame. Boom.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Because what's it? Like, the whole song is about it, but you don't really know what it is. Like,
yeah.
It's coming closer. I think I got it. Like, but what do you,
yeah,
what
like,
do you
I
got?
I think I got this. I think I got
yeah.
it. And then somebody, you know, you read something horrific that somebody thinks about you and you're like, You know, so yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Interesting. Definitely. That's why we do this, ladies.
I know, it's always a great conversation. Like, yeah. Yeah. And I guess you could speculate about what it meant to him, because obviously it meant something and that's why he wrote this song. But like, also it's kind of very interesting just like how you can interpret this for yourself, because
exactly.
A lot of those kind of same things we sort of deal with on like a smaller scale in life, like I think I've got it, I know what I'm doing with my life, and then
you're out of
not.
Paper towels and your whole day's thrown out, you know.
Exactly.
But I have to say, like, Decide, I always say this, like, the Crux was his masterpiece, but Decide is near and dear to my heart, because that's how I discovered his music. And I'm more of that style, that kind of synth wave, kind of 80s stuff. And I love that it's so, Only This Would Happen to Joe Keery, almost like an anti-social media album.
Yeah.
Social media made it like blow up and gave him the exposure that let this tour be responsible, you know? So I just think that always an album needs to have a really good opening and a really good ending. And I think he nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So I'm so excited to talk about the next song.
Take a visit to a certain garden.
Yeah, let's do it. So what's this song that we're talking about, Lizzie?
Charlie's Garden from The Crux.
Such a happy song. I love that you picked this song, because we know what a Charlie Heaton fan you are. And
yeah, I love Charlie, yeah.
I just really love their friendship. And this is just a song you can't be unhappy listening to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
So this was the first song that I listened to on when The Crux was released. Mm-hmm. I think I listened to it at like 5 o'clock in the morning, because I couldn't wait until the morning. And obviously I hadn't, because I think he went to the listening parties, and my friend Scout, he went to one, and he didn't tell me anything about them, because I was like, what happens? And he was like, no, I'm going to tell you, you need to wait.
Love that.
Yeah. And I just remember listening to, I was like, that's Charlie. I was like, oh my God, that's Charlie. I was like, I couldn't comprehend it at the time. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. So I think that's really a good inclusion of his friends and like the Stranger Things, and obviously that's a big part of his life, and I think that's a good way of encapsulating that time that they spent together.
Yeah.
Because obviously they spent a lot of time in Atlanta, and I think they had like connecting gardens,
their backyards touched.
Yeah, so I love that. I think that's pretty cute.
I also, it's so cute, love just like, we call them backyards, but you guys do call them gardens, right? Like,
gardens.
So that's what Charlie would call his backyard.
Yeah.
I love
and
that
it just,
so much.
Like, what I love about Joe is he never bites the hand that feeds him. Like, you know, in that recent interview, someone was like, would you ever be upset if you're always known as Steve Harrington? He's like, no, of course not. Like, this is the butterfly effect. This is what caused everything to happen. And he's very appreciative and very humble about it. But him and Charlie are kind of similar in age. They both landed this role. And I love his friendship with him and Natalia. And I love that they live next to each other. And like, we've spoken about it before at that ice cream social at the Upside Down Con. He kind of told us a funny story about, you know, watching Maya's dog and stuff, and how he sometimes would watch Penny, their dog, and stuff, and it, you know, just typical Joe coded. But I love that, you know, they're in Atlanta. Obviously, you know, they probably need to almost like make their own little sanctuaries, because the paparazzi and people like trying to get leaked photos and just creeps are constantly trying to get a glimpse of them. So it's almost like Charlie and Natalia made this like little backyard, like, you know, paradise for themselves with the ping pong table. And I love that they were so close. How nice is that? That you're literally a stone throw away from your two really good friends. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And I think the fact that he like kind of mentioned it at the Upside Down Con, and he was kind of like hinting at things, is such a clever way of like, he was obviously writing it at the time. So he obviously had this idea and he was trying to not talk about it too much. But I think,
the wheels were spinning.
Yeah, you mentioned the listening parties. And when I went to the listening party and heard this song for the first time, which I'm super glad that you didn't get like spoiled by like any of the listening parties for this, because it was so fun to like, first, as soon as he started like talking about like the paw scratched the back of the door, like, I'm like, oh, he's talking about like being neighbors with Charlie and like watching their dog, like he told us about at the Upside Down Con. Like, as
so cute.
Like, as soon as I heard that, like, I was like, oh, that's what this is about. And then when the voicemail started, I'm like, that's Charlie. And people around me were like, no, that's not Charlie. He doesn't have a British accent. And I'm like, have you guys not watched Stranger Things for however many years and heard Jonathan's voice like Charlie without a British accent? Like, that's Charlie.
I love that, like, Charlie gets technically like two references, you know, with Delete Ya and this. But I just love their friendship so much. And I got to be honest, I love Charlie Heaton. And what really made me fall in love with him was the bloopers for season 4, when the actor who plays Argyle couldn't get the line out and like just Charlie is white knuckling it not to ruin the take. That's when I was like, I adore this man. So just, it's such a feel good song. Like, it makes you almost like imagine like Ralph from the Muppets playing the piano. Like, it's such a feel good, like happy song, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely. I think the crux has more of a growth, heartbreak kind of vibe. So this was like a kind of, it broke it up a little bit and it was kind of like, these are the people that are supporting me and I want to reference them, because it's important to talk about the people that are around you and they support you during these times.
Yeah.
So I think it was quite a good way for like the liveliness and like that kind of thing to come through.
Yeah. Yeah. He, I think, has been pretty open about saying that the first half of this album was a breakup album and like has that like heartbreak, but that it became something else. And like, I love like the songs on the second half of the album, especially this one and Back on You, are just like
the friends and family who were there for him, that helped him have this, you know, growth to come out on the other side. And, you know, I like that he paid tribute to such a big part of his life, because I can just imagine it now. And I love that somebody asked, like, what is the fat shank? What's the line?
Fat back shank of the day.
And he was like, oh, it's something my grandfather used to say, much like in that interview where he's going through his bag and he's like, oh, they're in the bottle, meaning they're wearing too much cologne or perfume. And I'm somebody who like says a lot of things like my grandparents used to say, like, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. So I just love that he like makes these little references that like he would probably only get, but it's just such a fun kind of lyric, you know?
And I think when he was writing the crux, I think it's come from a very personal place. So having those little things that he only can pick up on, I think, is very important in terms of, he wrote it for himself first, and then he gave it to the world to listen to and like analyze.
Exactly.
And that kind of thing. So I think having those included in there is important for him, I think.
Yeah. I think a lot of people kind of agree that this is very like Beatles, like sounds like, especially like
Octopus Garden.
Octopus's Garden.
Okay.
And
Garden,
just the whole like Yellow Submarine like style, like, and it's just like some of the lyrics don't really make sense. Like, it's like, and that's just kind of like the vibe. Like, it's silly in a way, like, and I love the, you mentioned the fat back shank of the day, but also like, take a cup, drink the sleepy away, like showing
just imagine
tea.
Him like probably like holding his tea, like that's always the best part of the morning. But I love the audience's reaction from the shows I've gone to and then seeing footage. Like, he has the biggest smile on his face and the crowd goes nuts, especially when Charlie's part is played. I think that's really cool that he still plays that part, because come on, that's the best part of the song. But all these little sound effects and stuff, I really love that just their schedules aligned and he had him record in the studio. And I love that they leaked that footage of him recording it, which Megan was like, I think it's almost like supposed to be somebody calling him on set, right?
That's what it seems
so.
like it's like, I don't think that Charlie would have been the one calling to let them know I mean, it could have been that, like, Charlie was on set filming and he called Joe to, like, let them know whether or not they would need them. But I feel like it would have been somebody else, just, like, somebody else that works on the show that would have been, like, making that phone call. And that's
Charlie
almost...
is a man of all trades, you know? You never know.
Yeah, they would have been like, Charlie, call Joe. Like, yeah. But, yeah, that was interesting. And, like, yeah, let's listen to the rest of the song, because then there's that other little voicemail at the end, too, which is cool.
Man. I have to say, I always thought he says, like, tomorrow, like, really cool. I thought he was saying Mario. Am I an idiot?
No, it's like he does such fun, like, a fun, it's so whimsical and, like.
Whimsical, good word.
Yeah, his voice, it sounds very, like, it's authentically him. Like, he's not really doing, like, a lot of, like, vocal effects, but he is kind of just, like, you know, being silly with the way that he's, like, saying things and, like...
That's how I'm going to pronounce tomorrow from now on. Tomario.
Tomorrow. But I just wanted to point out that, like, there's a couple things that are very, like... Like, I kind of didn't even remember that, like, he does say, well, you better believe me, darling, believe me. It's kind of quiet in the recorded version of this song, but, like, that live is so fun. And, like, there's the whole last part of this song where it gets a little funky. Like, he is just, like, jamming when he plays it live.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I know I've talked to a couple people about how fun and cool, like, a live album would be. And he's such a perfectionist that I feel like it would be tough for him to, like, let go enough to, like, you know, allow a live album to be what a live album is, because it's, like, it has those imperfections. But, like, it's just his performances of these songs live are just so much fun that it's, like... it would be cool to have that, like recorded as well. Any other, like, lyrics or musical stuff that we noticed in the second half?
I picked up, like, the little tinkering in the back, I think would be, like, some sort of, like, gardening tool, or it, like, references, like, gardening tools and,
like the spades
and that
kind
of thing. Yeah. I think that's really cool. Like, kind of indicates they're in the garden, Charlie's messing around with his herbs or whatever.
I do love that he shared photos too of, like, kind of what the garden looked like and the famous ping pong table, so it kind of gave you a visual and you're just like, that looks so cozy and so much fun, you know?
Yeah And I think it was a good way of them to, like, decompress after long days and like that kind of thing. So I know this is kind of off piece, but, like, for example, like, Jamie Campbell Bower used to spend, like, 13 days in a chair getting his neck and things on. So it's probably, like, quite intense on the set. So it's a good way of them spending time together and, like, relaxing and having fun while they're doing it. So.
Exactly. And they probably, like, on top of that, this was their last time filming it and they've been such a huge part of their lives. So I'm glad they were able to make those memories and he was able to pay tribute. But I love that it kind of comes full circle with, you know, Charlie getting on the horn again, being like, psych, they need you.
I think that that's, like, a lot of the lyrics. It's kind of like that's sort of the balance that he's trying to find between like work, and then also letting himself have that time to release himself, to, like, let go and kind of relax a little bit. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of my read on, like, the lyrics and what they kind of mean, because they're not super straightforward.
I love that you were like, what instrument is that? We're not music people. Yeah. I just imagined him with an accordion. It definitely wasn't an accordion, but I'm just like, it just seems like such something, like, you can see him jamming out in the garden with an accordion as poor Charlie's trying to probably, like, you know, do his weeding, you know? So he's like, come on, Joe. Yeah. So much fun.
I do love that. I'm pretty sure that he said that in Charlie's backyard somewhere there was a piano and that's where he wrote this song. Like, he wrote this song, like, in Charlie's garden.
My God.
So I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
That man.
Yeah. And then how it kind of, like, repeats, like, the beginning part again at the end is fun.
Yeah, it sounded almost like a horn, like the music got some really
sort of
like
horn, yeah.
Fun, you know, and dreamy, you know. Like, I know this is weird, but like it makes you want to like have a gelato and like just like soak in some like sun. I don't know, maybe that's only Stacy, but I'm like, yeah. You know, you guys are like, yeah, Stacy.
Yeah,
but I'm like, I don't know, that garden sounds really nice.
It does.
It's a very summer song.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This whole album, I feel like, is going to be so much fun to listen to all summer. Like, ugh. It's got great, like, summer vibes, especially, like, the upbeat songs, which is most of them. But, yeah. Yeah. Well, this was so fun. Yeah.
A blast.
It was. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us to chat about these songs. I think that was a really fun... Like, I always kind of like to see sort of the connections between the two songs that we picked, too. And it's like almost like he was kind of anxious and like that fame and that building in Slither is a very direct contrast to like this song and just like letting himself relax, letting himself be silly, enjoying time with his friends. Like, so it's kind of a cool way to kind of like think about those two songs together. So
good picks.
Yeah
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we are so excited for you to get to see Joe in a few days, really, so enjoy
soon.
It
thank you,
and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right,
peace.